Good morning, Trinidad. What's our motto of life? Who knows? Be ready, pray or die at a moment's notice. And my one biggest fear in life is that God wants me to speak to one more person, and I'm not there to do it. And I found out the other day that Denise, Eli, and I are going to be late getting to heaven because it says in Revelations 8:1, and there was silence in heaven for a half an hour. And the three of us cannot be quiet that long. But God is good. God is wonderful. And I thank every one of you who supported Shay and I in going and gave her this mission because, and I know I'll word this wrong, I know I won't get it exactly the way they put it, but every one of us want to see our children and grandchildren blessed. And during devotions one day, Pastor Tim said, I have been on two international missions with this person. I see their face light up when they get on the mission field. I see their eyes light up. I see them going around saying, what can I do? Can I help you? What can I do for you? Can I do this? Can I do that? And he said, this person is Shay Amsler, my granddaughter. And then Obie Clark got up and said, Shay, I have a word for you. And this isn't not exactly the way he said it, but basically he said, if you stay the course, I will do great things in the mission field through you. And Shay had tears in her eyes. I was crying. I called Robin, and she started to cry. And I, when I got home, I called Becky Hedgeland, who, when Shay was 8 years old, I was telling somebody that I was taking Shay on the mission field, and they said, well, that's dumb. Why would you take an 8-year-old on the mission field? And I said, if you get them hooked on missions early, they'll be hooked the rest of their life. And if you get them to telling people about Jesus in service, they will be hooked the rest of their life. I was telling Becky Hedgeland that, and she said, if that little girl wants to go on the mission field, she said, I will pay her way. And she wrote me out a check for Shay's whole way to Romania when she was 8 years old. And the funny thing was, I told Shay one day, I said, you know, you have your whole way paid, but Robin and your Grammy and I don't have any money for our trip yet. And Shay said, well, Grandpa, if you think I need to go over there and minister with that, and she said, I will do that. And I said, Shay, I'm not saying an 8-year-old to another continent to minister, but we will go with you, but I just want you to know that God wants you to be there. And it is amazing to me the bond you find with people when you go on the mission field with them. And when I'm the only one there working really hard and they're all sitting there watching me, that how they bond, and I'm there, I don't get a chance because I'm so busy working. And I never get a chance to talk to anybody. But I would go out and stand at the gate with my Santa Claus hat on, dancing and motioning for people to come on in. And this group of teenagers walked by, and they said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, we're here painting this building. And they said, no, why are you here? And I said, because we're here to share the love of Jesus. That's why we came here. But God is good, and I just fear that that one person I won't get to talk to. And I shared this before. I told Shay there's two kinds of people in life, the ones that know and love me and the ones that wish they did. And so I'm meeting all the ones that wish they did because that's my job in life. And God is so good. And he is such a blessing, and I'm supposed to keep it to 2 minutes, so that's it. But thank you.
So please, for one moment, don't believe that Joe isn't an expert in keeping that chair down. He did a great job at that. First of all, I want to take this opportunity. I am so grateful for everybody that helped send us. This was an amazing experience. And thank you for everyone who made it possible. And One of the things it did for me personally was open me up to a whole new world of cuisine. So really excited about that. But so going there, I probably wasn't surprised by the poverty level that we saw, which, you know, I watched documentaries and everything that you would see about third world nations and the poverty level, it's pretty accurate compared to what we've seen. But what did surprise me was the school systems, like the open air school systems, which is really, really nice. But when on our way to the center, we'd see all these little kids dressed in beautiful uniforms and on their way walking to school. Now, some of the younger ones had parents, but these little kids walking past trash, just absolute filth, and some beautiful houses, but piles as high as us. And there's these kids walking to school. And then when we got to meet them after all the work was done, I was so surprised by little kids, 8, 10, 12-year-olds, taking full responsibility for their siblings and making sure that their pleases and their thank yous were there, and very well-behaved. Now, when they didn't have a group of adults watching them, some of them could cut up pretty decently. There were some behaviors. They weren't perfect, but nobody spoke without Miss Denise, Mr. Joe. I mean, their manners were impeccable. And when there were altar calls, and I was surprised by when we were singing our songs, those kids knew those songs, and they were willing. When you could just see them light up once we were speaking the name of Jesus, once we were, you know, they had a whole different demeanor about them, but still respectful. So I was really impressed. And then talking about kids, and I'll try to get this without crying, but, you know, everybody talks about, oh, this generation and that generation. Well, we had both Shay and Karis on that team. And let me tell you what a generation of those kids they were. Those kids were, they were amazing. And if they didn't have something to do at that moment, they were coming around giving us water, giving us, hey, what can I do for you? Do you need anything? Do you need me to run? Or, you know, do you need a fan? Anything that we needed. They didn't stop. And I was so delightfully impressed. And all week long, I had just these words coming over me about Shay. And then when Pastor Obadiah said that, I'm like, that's it. That's it. We do an excellent job pouring into our kids. But I had to go to Trinidad to see how amazing our kids are. And that girl's amazing. We have got a treasure. That's the word that kept coming to me, was treasure in this little girl right here. So sorry for the tears, but I was really, really impressed by that. And then the other thing that I was so impressed by in the camaraderie in our group. We were hot, we were stinky, we were sweaty. We were tired, like a level of exhaustion that you cannot imagine, because we worked hard. Every one of us worked hard, and we all got along. There wasn't nitpicking. We weren't fighting. We were blessed by one another's company. Then we would go back to the hotel, and we would get a shower and get cleaned up, and then we're like, okay, let's go do something all together, you know? And we would go walk, and we would do something. And we had a team that, you know, that it was the Spirit of God, because under most circumstances, when you're working that hard, there's usually some sort of nitpicking or fighting or something. We didn't have that. We genuinely enjoyed, most of us, everybody's company. And what we accomplished in 7 days of working, the community was amazed, and we were amazed. And I never heard of Thinset, but if you need somebody, I'm an expert.
So God puts us in places where he knows what we need to be. And that was definitely a place that God knew I needed to be there. When I was younger, I always wanted to travel. I always wanted to, like, that was on my mind. I always wanted to travel. And I wanted to join the army, but I couldn't pass the ASVAB. And I would get so mad at myself. And it would get to the point where I would see somebody in a uniform and I would get instantly depressed because I wanted that so bad. To find out that you know, with me traveling to Trinidad for my first out-of-country mission trip, that is what God wanted me to fight for. Not the country as in that way, but for mission trips. So even though I thought, you know, that I needed to be in the army, in the service, it wasn't. It was an army as far as with God. So that's one of my testimonies. Another thing is, you know, marriage is really hard. And we have our struggles just like everybody else. And I needed that break. I have a almost a three-year-old, and, you know, life can get tough. So I also needed a break. And God blessed me with that break in some form. Because Randy sometimes picks on me. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to get a break from being picked on. And then Joe and Tim picked on me the whole entire time. So I did not get the break from that. But it was fun. We had a lot of fun. We painted, like they said, we were exhausted. But it was such a blessing to do that for that community. And we didn't think we were going to get done. We just, you know, we just kept on praying. And the community started coming in and helping us. And it helped tremendously. So God, you know, sent those people to us to help us finish, because there was a lot of painting, a lot. So yeah, and then with finances, God blessed me, and I want to thank everybody who helped me with that and helped with sending us to Trinidad. I got the exact amount that I needed to be, you know, sent over. So God works ways out, you know, like he put me there in that situation for a reason, and I know why. So, and it says in Colossians 3:23 that serve as if serving the Lord, not the people. So, you know, I wanted to do that. I wanted to get closer with God. I wanted to serve him. And finally, like, just getting to know all the people that we were with, and I got a good relationship with all of them, and I'm truly blessed to have them in my life. I love my church family, and I love you guys for letting me go and the opportunity, and I love God for blessing me.
So when this trip came up, I knew I wanted to go. I've always wanted to do a missions trip, but I've never had the opportunity. So I said yes, and that's sometimes a bad habit of mine. I say yes, and then I figure everything out. So when I said yes, and we're going down there and in the heat, and I didn't know what kind of job we were going to be doing, and then I'm not a very heat-tolerant person. I actually like our cold weather. But you know, Joe said about Shay going when she was 8 from her first missions trip, and this is my first overseas or out-of-country one, and I'm 68. So I'm thinking, can I handle this? Can I work all day? Can I, you know, I have arthritis in my knees. I have a knee surgery scheduled next month. So, you know, can I do all this? But I put it all in God's hands, and God got me through it. And we were asked to wear our Live Current shirts, but I have this one that kind of described it better, and it says, fueled by Jesus and coffee. And that pretty much described the week, plus gallons of water. But what a blessing. Just what a blessing to work with everyone down there. And, you know, like Denise said, it was a great team, and it was so nice to get to know everybody. And working with those kids, oh my gosh, by the end of 2 days, I said I had so many grandkids that I could have just all taken them home with me. It was just, yeah, and I am, you know, so glad I went, and I will do it again any day. And just thank you all for your prayers, for keeping us lifted up as we worked. And when they said about us being sweaty and dirty, and yeah, and we stayed in a beautiful hotel, and at the end of the day, we walked into that hotel like, you know, I'm waiting for everybody to stare at us like, what are you people doing in here? But, you know, it didn't bother me one bit, because I knew we were doing the Lord's work. And, you know, that's the way we look. We come however we look.
I was going to wrap it up, but no, Pastor will do that. But it was such a joy to go on this missions trip with this group of people. And not everyone's here. We're missing quite a number. But the one that I had the privilege of getting to know, Francie Milliron, she's not here, but what a blessing she was. Everyone, you know, we just, it was God how we all clicked together. And it was God, and it was for one purpose. It was for one purpose, to see people come to Jesus and to minister to this community. And the amount of work, the pictures aren't up here. I should send some. They're the pictures of that community center. It was in such disarray, wasn't it? I mean, when we looked at it, it's like, whoa, we have some work to do here. But we all chipped in. We worked hard. And that place is absolutely beautiful. In fact, that Sunday that we left, I think it was the Sunday, they had a wedding there. And then the beginning of the week, someone else came. And they weren't, the building was in it's so bad that people just didn't want pictures outside around that building. But when this couple saw the building, they're like, yes. And they booked a wedding that weekend. And so it was just, it was a ministry to be able to help the community center get funds so that they can reach out and they can help the children and the parents. They do all types of classes. Just to help this community. So we lended a big hand towards that. I don't have notes, so I could just go on for a few more minutes. Huh? No, no. If you know me, that's usually not me. But I think one of the other things that blessed me is when we do missions trips, it means so much to the missionaries. And even though, like, in our heart of hearts, we know that, but one day, every day we had our devotional time together, but one day Obadiah just expressed that. Of course, he's my son. So it just, you know, it just touched all of our hearts. Missionaries can feel quite alone when they're day in and day out working and laboring for the Lord. A ministry is hard, right, Pastor? It's a blessing. It's wonderful, but it's hard. And he just expressed how his first missions team was from his home church, and even his Sunday school teacher, Santa Claus, came. But that was such a boost, such an encouragement to them. And so I thank you, team, for your sacrifice in doing that and ministering to them as well. Okay, Pastor Kier.
So we were told before we went to Trinidad that there's a lot of spiritual darkness. It's one country, two islands, Trinidad and Tobago. And we prayed, fasted and prayed even before we left and prayed over that spiritual darkness. The night before we left, we had to leave at 2 a.m. to get to the airport. Crazy. So I decided to lay down before we left, maybe try to get a couple hours of sleep. But I took a ginger tablet with my vitamins and everything. And before I could even sleep for 2 hours, I felt this burning like never before. I felt a spiritual attack. I really feel like heartburn and acid reflux attacked me. And it was like, this is not okay. And I began to fight that spiritual warfare, that there's a spiritual attack on me because the enemy didn't want me to go, didn't want us to minister. And I began to pray, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am still believing for complete healing from that. That's almost gone, but I've still been a little battling it. But I'm just saying, spiritual darkness is real. They have carnival coming up. It's the 16th and 17th of this month. I ask that you fast and pray the 16th and 17th, as we visited in their local areas getting ready for carnival. They have drums and special things going on, but they're also witch doctors. We passed some of them dressed up. Joe has a picture with them. Of course he does, but but I'm telling you, the spiritual darkness is real. And we began to see some spiritual light breakthrough. And we're believing for revival to happen in that place, that the light will just spread and start with those kids that we were able to minister to. Miss Abby, that you saw in the video, she was precious. She got any tools that we needed. She was helpful. She went out of her way to help us. And I have to tell you the story of Pastor Chris, because Miss Judy didn't tell. Now, I love Pastor Chris, and we were worried about him getting up on that scaffolding. Every single day, we did one side of the building. So there are four huge sides. The first side was flat. Everything's fine. Scaffolding was fine. Second day, they said, we need to put wheels on it. And we had Joe say, we need painter's tape to get the wheels to stay on. Seriously, painter's tape? I'm like, Joe, don't you think duct tape would work better? Oh, this will be fine. And then they had to go over a ramp, so they rigged it with cinder blocks and planks, and you could see the pictures elsewhere. But anyway, God had angels watching over us, I'm telling you. So Pastor Chris was painting on the second day, second side of the building. He was on the scaffolding painting up high. And then he got down low, and I said, Pastor Chris, we really got to cover the bushes. We got to put the tarps on them and make sure that the paint doesn't get on them. He kind of looked at me like, really? Like, so he covered the bushes, and he got back there, and he was spraying behind the bushes. And next thing you know, I was doing something, turned around, and he's upside down. And I went running over. Well, our security guard, he was over there in a flash, and he was seeing if he was okay. And, of course, I was like, are you okay? Are you okay? And then found out he was okay. Snap. So the picture's up there if you want to see. He had the fight with the bushes. He ended up, he didn't hit his head, but his feet were up in the air. Joe was like, how can I help you? He was like, I'll just give me a minute. I'll figure it out. It'll be okay. He has wrestling moves. He was good. But you know what? That security guard, later that day, I heard him right at lunchtime. Pastor Chris was in there with that security guard praying the sinner's prayer with him. A few hours later, the security guard says, hey, Pastor Chris, come over here. Could you talk to my wife? I have her on the phone. Led his wife to the Lord. Now my stepdaughter, she's on the phone. Could you lead her to the Lord? He led her to the Lord. Three souls got saved. Pastor Chris had a fight with the bushes, I'm telling you. But it was an amazing, amazing day. That was on Tuesday. By Wednesday, Thursday, we're kind of lagging. Silas and Christine showed up and gave us that extra boost. And I'm telling you, the kids' crusade was on Saturday and Sunday. 47 kids came, and they gave their hearts to Jesus. It was beautiful, beautiful. We thank God. We thank God for a church that believes in missions. We did some crazy things. We had two extra suitcases we took over, and, of course, the two extra suitcases, one was overweight, so I had to open it in the airport, and out pops all these pool noodles and all kinds of stuff. That I had to switch around so that they would weigh the right amount. But we got everything over there. We made homemade ice cream with them. And the kids were like, this is cold. This is so cold. They didn't like the air conditioning very much. But we also made s'mores with them. And the chocolate melted. Marshmallows didn't roast, so we had to use the oven. If you see Jason, our driver, he's got the coconuts. He actually made it possible for the guy to bring a whole truck of coconuts to the center so we could have our coconut water. They were picked from his house that morning. The guy with the machete cut the tops off, stuck a straw, and said, here you go. It was amazing. And then I was like, how in the world do you get those coconuts out of the tree? He goes, well, you want to see? And I said, well, yeah, I want to see. He goes, I own that tree right over there across the street. So Sterling ran across the street, took a rope and a machete, And he climbed up that tree like a little monkey. And he harvested some coconuts right for us. It was incredible. And I mean, just up there with a rope and a machete. Whack, whack, whack. It was crazy. But anyway, that video is also on Facebook. But anyway, I just want you to know that it was an amazing trip and people did work together. We had an awesome time. And we're grateful for all the work that Pastor Obadiah and Janola did in preparation and for all of your prayers and support. Love you guys.
I'm not going to share with you, so. All right. She told me she didn't want to. All right. If we could have some ushers. Just to let you know, I did talk to Obadiah at the beginning of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and he was so grateful, once again, sharing that his appreciation for us going and being a blessing to them. Their dream is to start a church there in that community, so we are laying the foundation of that. If you are interested, next January, we're probably going to take another trip to do the inside of the building. So if you could put that in your mental calendar, if you're interested in doing that, please, we will let you know as we proceed. We have a display table over here, some things that are from the country, plus some of the pictures, so I encourage you just to take a glance. We'll leave that up for a couple weeks so you can see that. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for this body of believers. We thank you that we had the privilege of going and being part of their representation, Father, because, Lord, you said go, and we were able to go. We were also able to give. We were also able to pray, and so we're grateful for that. But, Father, we just thank you for the continued support of this local body, not just to go on trips, not just to minister, but to just do the daily things that we need to do here at the church. And so, Father, today was one of those examples where you show us why we gather together, because, Lord, it's there in your presence that, Lord, we can minister and be ministered to. And so, Father, we're grateful for this facility. We're grateful for those who continually give, and we just ask a blessing upon each gift and giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.